everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the fifth Sunday in Easter, year A. In Acts, Stephen is martyred, his death mirroring Jesus in many ways. In 1 Peter, the author encourages disciples to become living stones, just like Jesus was. In the Gospel, Jesus says he is the way, truth, and the life, and will do the same things he did and more. The message? Be like Jesus. Is there more we can say? You bet.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The first reading for Easter 5, year A, is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. This is the story of the stoning of Stephen. It is just that little bit of the story. So a lot of the commentary that I read about these particular verses suggest and highly recommend adding the context around this event, because if you just jump right in with Stephen being dragged out and stoned, you don't know why. So it's really important to be able to put some scenery around this event so that people have a bit of an understanding as to why this happened. But we discovered in trying to insert or find intelligences in this passage that the story itself really takes on a lot of life and a lot of energy. And some of that energy is kind of dark. So bear with us. And we're going to look at four particular smarts: word smart with an illustration and special effect, body smart with an illustration special effect, an illustration and people smart, and an illustration and special effect in self smart. We're going to start with word.
So there are several parallels between this passage and Jesus' crucifixion and death in Luke's gospel, presumably the same author. So
yeah.
that might have something to do with it. So if you look at Luke 23 from verses 34 and 46, you find Jesus and Stephen both say, "Receive my spirit," or words to that effect. They both cry out, and they both say something to the effect of, "Do not hold this sin against them." And there are some intentionalities, I'm sure, for Luke in drawing those parallels. Mm-hmm. For an illustration, we have a quote from Mark Twain, probably not Mark Twain.
Abraham Lincoln.
Gandhi, somebody.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah. It says, "History does not repeat itself, but it rhymes." Mm. And that's sort of what's going on here. It's not exactly the same. But
there are echoes.
There are echoes. Mm-hmm. So you might give a try for a special effect at recreating this selection with rhythm or rhyme to, and maybe bring in some of the gospel connections there. Mm-hmm. I took a stab at it, and it's not as easy as it sounds. but I might try another stab at it, and if we do, we'll get it posted up for you. But otherwise, give it a try. See if you can do it with rhythm or maybe as a rap. Bring in some music smart in that regard, but connecting those words from the two chunks.
Looking at body smart, this is kind of a challenging passage when we put our own bodies into this story to connect ourselves with either Stephen or with the people who were throwing the rocks at him. It's really tricky. We're all really familiar with pain, but equating our pain with Stephen's stoning, none of us have probably been stoned to death. Especially if you're listening to this, you're not dead. So there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this will be kind of tricky, but it's important. And I think the reason is really captured well in a quote that we have from Matt Skinner writing on this passage at Working Preacher. He says this, "If we dwell too intently on images of a smiley Stephen, all pious and cherub-like because his face is said to be reflecting light and he looks like an angel as he's dying. If we dwell too intently on that, we risk passing over the ugliness of a crowd crushing a man's skull, one hurled rock at a time." Skinner goes on to say, "If we make this passage only about Stephen, we might neglect to notice the stones littering the ground around us, which either implicate us or cause us to cry out for deliverance from cycles of violence." So keep the context of why this is happening front and center in this. And something you could do for a special effect, again, this is tricky, place a bowl of stones at the end of the pew or pass stones around to people and encourage them, people who feel strong enough to do this, to take a stone and hold it in their hand while you read the passage, and then allow for some time to reflect about how the stone feels, how much force or energy people think it might take for them to be able to throw that stone at someone, especially with the intent to harm them, and what that stone might represent for that person. So in a way, we're not only doing a body smart special effect, but we're also pulling in some nature smart while people look at the rock, and we're also pulling in some self smart, which we'll get to later on when we get to self smart and talk about it. Something else you might do as a special effect would be to actually take the rocks and chuck them at something. A cardboard cutout, a clay pot, a pork loin. Do that and show what kind of damage that can do.
For people smart, we have a few quotes that we want to pass along. So one comes from Dan Clendenin at Journey with Jesus. And he says, "Millions have been martyred for reasons other than religion, for their ethnicity, Jews, Armenians, Tutsis, for economic ideology, farmers or landholders, social prejudice, intellectuals, artists, race, American blacks, and gender, women around the world." So keeping Stephen's martyrdom in context, that there is a larger circle of folks for whom this is a reality. William Loder then also discusses the topic and says, "What killed Stephen still snuffs out life, but we need to see that it is active wherever the appeal to love as the highest priority is resisted and violence is preferred as somehow right or even as just." So we have a link for you to an article about how to deal with a dogmatic ideologue, those folks who won't listen to anything that might contradict their dogma. Those folks who just resist on principle. Mm-hmm. And if you look up examples on Google, if you try to find examples, there isn't much because there are too many. So there's that.
Yeah.
Then we have one more quote here, and this comes from Isaiah Berlin. And it says, "If you're truly this is one of these ironic sorts of things that gets tougher as you go deeper. But here we go. "If you're truly convinced that there is some solution to all human problems, that one can conceive an ideal society which men can reach if only they do what is necessary to attain it, then you and your followers must believe that no price can be too high to pay in order to open the gates of such a paradise. Only the stupid and malevolent will resist once certain simple truths are put to them. Those who resist must be persuaded. If they cannot be persuaded, laws must be passed to restrain them. If that does not work, then coercion, if need be, violence, will inevitably have to be used. If necessary, terror and slaughter."
Yeah.
So this is perhaps where you talk about the failings of humanism as opposed to hope in the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah.
So just tidying up that little bit with a counter quote from Matt Skinner, back to Matt Skinner that we mentioned in Body Smart. He says, "If the Easter story means anything, it had better mean that God promises an end to this way of doing business and that God can save us from ourselves." Let's hope.
Yeah. And then finally for self-smart. Again, we have another link to a blog written by a man named Matthew Rosa, who considers himself a professional pundit, that gives you an opportunity to check your own ideological tendencies. How much of an ideologue are you? And how rigid are you? Is there any flexibility in the way you think about the world and about yourself? So this link is to a blog post. It's not scientific and it's not psychological profiling tool. It's not fully diagnostic. It's just something to give you maybe a spark and maybe some insight into your own self and how you deal with competing ideas. So for a special effect, we're kind of going back a little bit to the body smart special effect with those stones and those questions that we asked people to reflect on. Here are some things you might want to reflect. Is the stone anger? Is it fear, resentment, bitterness, condemnation, judgment? And what would it take for you to actually throw that stone? And who would you throw it at? And what would you do with that stone if you heard Jesus say, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone"? Or how about even, "As you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me"?
Let's go on. The second reading for Year A, Easter 5, is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Peter is encouraging the flock here and telling them that, like newborn infants, they should be desiring the spiritual milk, and then talking more about stones and Jesus, the living stone, and that we also should be living stones built into a spiritual house. He then talks about stones, Jesus as the stone that the builders rejected and the one that makes them stumble, and then changing metaphors again, talking about the people as being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and off you go, do great stuff. We have a bunch of material for you here, a bunch of ideas. So we're going to do Word Smart with an illustration and special effect, Eye Smart illustration and special effect, Body Smart illustration, Nature Smart illustration and special effect, and People Smart illustration and special effect. Take it away, Molly.
Okay, this is actually kind of cool. I like this. David came up with this idea, and it's not reason not why I like it. I just think it's cool, but I also think David's cool, and I like him. But anyway,
thanks.
So there are lots of metaphors, piles and piles of metaphors. It's kind of a challenge to sort out the meaning because of the diversity of all of these metaphors, but we have an idea of how you might get them all pointing in the same direction through this particular special effect. Stack them like blocks. So start out with infants and spiritual milk growing into living stones being built into a spiritual house which houses a holy priesthood. And then there's that rejected stone that has become the cornerstone, which is also a stumbling block to people who don't get it or don't want to get it. It also is a royal priesthood, a holy nation, out of darkness and into light. So stack those. You can even switch the order of them too. I think the first one obviously would be the infant, and then the last one would be the light. So play with that. Have fun.
Yeah.
It's also kind of a visual special effect too, if you actually literally stack them.
Right, yes.
You write it on a box and put it out there.
Yeah. In iSmart, playing with the idea of being built into a spiritual building, we have a quote for you from Mickey Anders from Sermon Writers, and we have a link for it, but it goes something like this. There are houses, classrooms, offices, and churches that are interchangeable boxes, forgotten as soon as we move on. Then are the homes and rooms and sacred spaces that we never forget, the addresses etched forever in our minds. This is the kind of household that Peter would have us long to become. A peculiar congregation of people whose life appears flawed and unworthy, yet on closer inspection, a household whose open doors welcome the world's outcasts and prodigal children home. A royal household of living stones that even the oldest and wisest long for. Like that. For special effect, verse 5 says, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. So we're still on that. Invite your congregation to imagine what their spiritual house looks like. That is, the building that represents their faith and religious life. Is it large or small? Is it well-appointed or is it rustic? And how does it compare to their actual physical house or their actual work house or their hobby house? If you own multiple houses, imaginary castles.
Well, I think the idea more being house being space.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So we're your house.
No, if you were imagining your spiritual house, then imagine your physical, you could have your actual physical home, but then what would your work, your imaginary work house look like? And what would your hobby look like as a house?
You know? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah. So either the actual physical space, or if you were imagining it as a building.
Yeah. And that connects with self-smart.
Yeah.
You know, because you're spending some time reflecting on it.
Right. So it's iSmart because you're imagining the space mm-hmm. and using visualization. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to connect with the iSmart parts. Mm-hmm. And then self-smart because of the self-reflection connections.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. For body smart, we're looking at verse 8, where Peter writes, a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Do you have any stories of stumbling in the dark? I mean, literally stumbling in the dark. You stepped on a Lego and you fell over, or a pet got in the way. Chester almost killed me one time at the top of the steps.
Dang, cats. Part.
Or unexpected guests on the floor. Hey, I didn't know you were here. Or something squishy, like you have a puppy. Who's not entirely house trained yet. I saw my brother falling across the room one time when he discovered a little treasure that our dog had left. What might have saved you from stumbling? Turning on a light, maybe? Or not assuming you knew what was out there? Cleaning up before the lights go out? Could any of that translate into one's spiritual life, maybe? And then again, for an illustration, looking at verse 2 about the spiritual milk, nutritional, physiological, and developmental benefits of mother's milk for an infant. We have a link to that. There is a real good reason why milk is so important, particularly for the youngins. So what might Peter have in mind for what spiritual milk is, and what will it do that is similar to mother's milk? This is also kind of a nature smart illustration as well. And then finally, for body smart, looking at verse 3 about tasting the spiritual milk and seeing that the Lord is good, we're wondering if maybe that might not be a feminine reference to the Lord. Breastfeeding from God. Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting.
Huh? Have fun with that one.
Mm-hmm. For nature smart, a stone is known for its permanence, its imperviousness to change or to things like the weather. It takes a while. It can weather it down, but it takes a long time. It is also not easily moved from one place to another, especially if you get a really big one. So once placed in a specific spot, it will stay there unless a greater force is exerted upon it. So,
like a flood or an earthquake.
For example.
Or a tornado.
Or a bulldozer.
Hadn't thought of that.
So anyway, those are some ways to think about being a living stone, perhaps. So mm-hmm. enter into those thoughts about it. And it's also a very different idea of stone than what we were talking about in the Acts passage. So mm-hmm. in comparison with that, or remembering that we had people holding stones in the Acts passage for nature and body smart, maybe they still have them if you're reading both of these passages. So connect with that and or redo it. Basically, give everybody a stone and let them ponder it. And this time, hold your stone in your hands and look at the texture and the color and the shape and the features. Is it round or jagged or rough or smooth? And as you look at it, consider what it might represent for your spiritual life. Do its characteristics remind you of perhaps a particular person or place? Or a relationship, that permanence and the steadfastness of this rock, does that stoniness give you a sense of security or frustration? And how have you worked your life around the frustrations? Mm-hmm. So this has, of course, the nature smart elements of examining the rock, but also self-smart is involved here, and you'll intrigue the minds of those who like to study objects in nature and notice the properties and considering their origin. and the makeup of the rock, for example, with an exercise that draws a connection to somebody's own inner life for self-smart.
And then finally, again, continuing with that, with verse 5 and the idea of living stones, as an illustration, Christians in Israel and the West Bank still refer to themselves as living stones that make up the Mother Church of the Holy Land. And we have a link to that, so you can go take a look and see how that works out for them. There's another quote from Mickey Anders from Sermon Writer who says, "And that's who we are, living stones, built into a spiritual house so that we can be here in this place, a community of grace and peace, a house of prayer for all people, a school of Christian formation, a mission outpost." How are we built as living stones, and what comes out of our building? So have your congregation break into groups and discuss how your congregation is a spiritual house built out of living stones and what happens in there. Let's go on.
Let's.
The gospel lesson for Easter 5, year A, is from John 14, verses 1 through 14. These are verses we usually hear at a funeral. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." But Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples, actually, prior to a death, his own. It's part of the farewell discourse. And he's laying the groundwork for why the disciples should not have any angst or any anxiety on the other side of his death, because he's going on ahead of them. "And you know where I'm going," he says. And Thomas says, "No. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know my Father. And from now on, you do know him because you have seen me." And Philip says, "Well, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." And Jesus says, "Man, have I been with you all this time and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And then he goes on to talk about how he and the Father are abiding in one another, and that how entrusting in him allows them to abide in him and in the Father. And it's a statement of unity and of trust. So we have some illustrations and special effects that we're going to suggest that you might want to try with this. We have an illustration and special effect in iSmart, an illustration for MathSmart, illustration and special effect for BodySmart, an illustration in MusicSmart, an illustration and special effect for PeopleSmart, and an illustration in SelfSmart. So take it away, honey.
For iSmart, looking at verse 5, which is where Thomas says, "We don't know where we're going. We don't know the way." Got me thinking about trying to trust your GPS and getting lost. So we have a couple examples for you. We've got a link to a video of a report from the CBC on getting lost with your GPS. A number of folks trying to get to a particular holiday resort on the lakeside end up in somebody's driveway. And enough that those folks had posted signs along the lanes leading up to it saying, "This is not the way to X." So they had several people that end up turning around, and there was even somebody who got stuck on the rock and they had to come and push them out. So,
well, at least they did that.
Yeah, nice folks. Anyway.
Canadians. You know.
Well, yeah, of course. So then the other link that we have is to a blog post of similar character where a fellow and his wife and some friends were trying to get to Oakland, California, and he was trusting the GPS for the shortest route, which was not the shortest time route.
Or even probably not even the shortest
route
eventually.
Not. Maybe not, yeah. And things don't go well. So anyway, some those are kind of fun stories. For special effect, looking at verse 2, where Jesus talks about his Father's house, Jesus portrays here a large house with many subsidiary quarters, kind of a manor house, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So again, as we have done in the other couple passages here today, invite your folks to visualize a little bit about what would your quarters in God's house look like? How would it be decorated, and how big or small might it be?
For MathSmart, we're kind of looking at the logic of the way, the truth, and the life, and we're using a puzzle, and we have a link to this puzzle called The Fox, the Goose, and the Bag of Beans, which is essentially a farmer has bought a fox, a goose, and a bag of beans, and he has to cross a river in a boat carrying only one of them at a time. And so if you leave left alone together, a fox will eat the goose and the goose will eat the beans. So how does the farmer get everything across the river safely? So you have to discern the truth to figure out the way to assure life for all.
For body smart, in verse 8, it's where Philip has said, "Lord, show us the Father," after Jesus has just said, "I've shown you the Father." And he says, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." So I got the idea of this. It would be like watching the Harlem Globetrotters play and then saying, "Yeah, well, yeah, but show us some real ball handling, would you?" And we have a link to a clip of
Basketball stuffed up your nostril if you actually said that.
And yes. I wonder if Jesus wasn't about ready to
do that.
Clock Philip, I don't know. But for a special effect, unrelated to the passage per se, but because it's such a familiar passage, there's a thing that I got to be doing, and I think I got this from somebody else, but I don't remember.
I think you
where.
Did, but I don't, and I don't remember who.
We've used it for years, but when you do a really familiar passage, invite your folks so that they can hear it a different way. Start off by having everybody just clasp your hands with your fingers interlaced, and everybody does that in a particular way. Then say, "All right, now move your fingers over one position." And so you're still doing the same thing, but it feels not quite comfortable. Hmm. And that's what you want for listening to the scriptures in a new way. So you hear these familiar words, but you want to make
it's a little uncomfortable
so you can actually hear it.
Would crossing your legs differently do the same thing, or crossing your arms? Or
Maybe you're crossing your arms across your chest because you have a particular preference for doing that too.
Yeah, I can't do it the other way. I do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to actually think about that.
Yeah. Okay. So that would also work.
Yeah.
Yes. For Music Smart, we have a couple suggestions for hymns, and that's about as good as it got this week. So
With this passage.
Right. So for verse 6, the way, the truth, and the life, there's a hymn that is called "Hear, O Lord, Your Servants Gather," and it's a Japanese hymn.
Ooh. We've sung it, haven't
yes.
we?
Yeah, we know it. And each verse takes one of those, the way, the truth, and the life, and develops it a little bit. And then at the end, it's the way, the truth, and life. So we have a link to the lyrics and a link to the tune separately.
If you don't have access to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So neat tune. The other one would be the hymn "Come My Way, My Truth, My Life," which is from George Herbert. So some ancient texts there. And there are a couple of different tunes for that, actually.
I only know one.
I do too. Yeah, there's one "Come My Way" that is written specifically for it.
For that,
and then there's another tune by Vaughan Williams. That
I have to go look that one up.
Seems to be popularly used with this, so you may come across it that way.
So for People Smart, we're thinking about being able to trust Jesus in kind of the context of the whole setting of this farewell discourse, not just this section in 14, but as it goes all the way through to chapter 17 with a great priestly prayer. Delmer Chilton at Lectionary Lab says, "Here's a small band of friends huddled together behind closed doors with a growing sense of trouble, fear, and grief. They're hanging on by their fingernails, and Jesus is telling them to trust him, that he's the way to God. When their ears distract them, Jesus says, 'Listen to me. Look at me. I am the way to God. You can trust me on this. God has a place for us, and I'm going ahead to get everything ready.'" That's an illustration of this passage, but here's a special effect. What an interesting thought that Jesus is getting your room ready. So have your congregation break into groups and talk about that, because we usually think of these verses as, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you." And we usually think of this as an after-death experience, is because we're always hearing this at a funeral. But what room is Jesus getting ready for us now? And, you know, that could also be a self-smart special effect. Have people think about that in the coming week. What kind of a room is Jesus preparing for you then? But what kind of a room has he got ready for you now? And what does it take for you to get into it? Going back to illustration for People Smart, Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, makes the case that for the Jewish people, the temple is the place where heaven and earth meet, because that's where God is, and that's where people are in relationship with God.
And so, then Jesus becomes, for the New Covenant people,
the temple. Right. For another special effect, going back to the idea of rooms being prepared, this is another thing you might want to have as a discussion among your people, or this could also be a self-smart special effect consideration for the rest of the week. What do you usually think of the housekeeping staff at the hotel or the motel where you stay when you travel? Do you give them much thought to those people who prepare the room for you? And how about if you thought of them as if they were Jesus preparing that place for you? How much is that tip worth?
For self-smart, verse 12 says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will do also the works that I have done, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." So consider this. If you could do any of the great things that Jesus did, what would you choose and why? And what's keeping you? Why haven't you done it?
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet at @morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.